I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
And then there were three. And I understand there's always debate whenever you do rankings of any sort. And I understand this is difficult. But Nick Bosa comes in number three for the 49ers Rush roster countdown of 2024 on biggest impact of the upcoming season. Now, we only got two players left. I won't tell you the order, but it's Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy. The order, maybe it's CMC Purdy. Maybe it's Purdy CMC. But Bosa comes in number three. And on our four ballots, he had rankings of 2, 2, 3, 4. I mean, there's no debate. He's definitely top five. And for us, there was no debate. He's definitely top four. The Trent Williams holdout, and that kind of played a little bit into it, I'm sure. But defensive player just a year ago. And in our countdowns, in 2022, he was number two. Last year, 2023, he was number one. And this year, he's number three. Plays edge, one of the best two-way players in the NFL that against the pass and against the run. You get a lot of these pass rush specialists that are just like elite pass rushers. He's elite run defender, elite pass rusher, elite. There's no negative plays. There's not a negative to his game. He's just elite at everything, which is very rare. Where's jersey number 97? 6'4", 265. I mean, he is a beast. His nickname, Small Bear. There's not a lot small about this dude. 33-inch arms. He's got the length. He's only 26 years old. Heading into his sixth season. Remember, he skipped his senior season because he had that core muscle surgery and all that stuff came out. Only 26 still. He's still got a lot of playing time left to go. Ran a 4.740. Damn good player. Went second overall, right? We'll talk a little bit more about that draft later. Went to, grew up St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He killed it there. I think he won Florida 7A state championships in 2012, 2014, and 2015. So three state titles while he was in high school. Was a five-star recruit, was the third highest-ranked player coming out of that high school recruiting class. Chose Ohio State, just like his brother. And it's not just him and his brother, Joey Bosa, that are elite. This family is peppered with first-round picks. His father, John, was the 16th overall pick in the first round by the Miami Dolphins. And then the next year, they took his future uncle-in-law, Eric Camaro, with the 16th pick as well. So, Bosa's drafted ahead of all of the former first-round picks in his family. Second, brother Joey went third. Dad went 16th. Uncle went 16th. I mean, they are just, it's crazy. Had talent, pedigree, check. Just what it is. Was the 2017 Big Ten Defensive Lineman Player of the Year. His brother also won that award. And so, it's there. On our draft write-up, some of the things I wrote, never skips leg day, the best hands in the NFL compared to other defensive ends. He's just a technician, and just still, these are the ways in which he wins. It's funny because most ends that go at the top of the draft, elite burst, elite bend, they just got that. That's not really Bosa's traits. Yeah, he's got burst. Yeah, he's got bend. That's not really how he wins. He's a technician with power and is just, I don't know how you want to say it, one of those just like psychosomatic brain guys that understands what he's going to do on every play. Like, I know whenever you watch the press conference, he kind of comes off like Eeyore and doesn't really care about things and, you know, whatever else, slow. No. This guy understands and has written up game plans against every single offensive tackle he goes against and understands how to beat them all. Now, injuries have been an issue. There's no doubt about that. Core muscle surgery. He had the ACL tear in 2020 where he played all but two games. Like, that's just been an issue and will always maybe be an issue in the NFL. But I understand. Those are rough. But how did he respond? Comes back, defensive player of the year in 2022, got the big contract 2023, and you know, for as great as the 49ers history is, and it's, I'll put it up there with any tradition of any other NFL team, and we can have that argument, they have only had three defensive player of the years in all of franchise history: Dana Stubblefield, Deion Sanders, now Nick Bosa. And he's just so freaking good, and some of his best games have been in the postseason or the Super Bowl in 2019. Like, he shows up when it matters most. Defensive Rookie of the Year 2019, First Team All-Pro 2022. He's been a Pro Bowler every single year that he's played. The only year he didn't make the Pro Bowl is when he tore his ACL in Week 2. But, good Lord, led the NFL in sacks with 18.5 in 2022. Just crazy. I mean, his career is already like Hall of Fame worthy level. Like, and I know that sounds crazy to say, but I pulled up the Hall of Fame monitor on Pro Football Reference. I don't think he's there yet. He's got a 43.68 score, which is 53rd best amongst all defensive ends in NFL history. He is basically 0.2 of a point behind Fred Dean, who's in the Hall of Fame. He's already ahead of guys like Tamba Hali, Justin Tuck, Elvis Dumervil, Javon Kearse. But he's a way to go from a lot of the greats. Charles Haley, for example, had a 63.0. He's at a 43.6. Richard Dent, 64.4. Dwight Freedy, 85.5. He's got a lot more work to do. But you go look at, you know, whether you're looking at his contract, I mean, he's signed all the way through 2028. The Niners got this guy for 5 more seasons under contract. And the salary caps still aren't bad. His salary cap this year is $14.6 million. That's it. It doesn't balloon up till 2026. That's where it gets pricey, $42 million. But still, if Nick Bosa is playing at the level he's playing now and the salary cap doesn't go up, you're okay with that. You could restructure, all those things, whatever else. But the cap hit this year, 14.6. 2025, Bosa's cap hit, $20 million. Beyond manageable. It's the 2026, $42 million. 2027, $52 million. 2028, $42 million. That's where it gets just like, ooh, all right, that's spicy. It's up there. And one of my favorite things about Bosa, he's improving his PFF scores, and I know you got to take this with a grain of salt. It's gone up every single year besides the year he tore his ACL. Rookie year, 86.7. 2021, 88.3. 2022, the year he won Defensive Player of the Year, 90.9. And then last year, 2023, 92.7. Like, just constant incline. One of the best run defenders in the NFL. It's so incredible how good he is versus the run. Dude is just, oh, man. Showed up for OTAs this year, first time. And he's talked repeatedly about just how it's great to have a normal off season after the holdout. You know, he wasn't in football shape, and that affected his play last year. But, man, if you told me I could have Nick Bosa's 2023 season again, I'd take it because it was just so effective. It really, really was. And, you know, his career earnings, he's been paid. He's made $84.8 million to the day. Congratulations, man. Not that the Bosa family needed money, but, hey, dude puts it all on the line. And he is nothing but football all the time. That's just all he does is work out. One of my favorite Bosa lines ever was like, oh, how do you like being at OTAs and, you know, whatever else? He's like, oh, it's kind of like a vacation because my workouts are a lot harder at home. So it's kind of like taking a little bit of a break and, you know, let my body rest. Dude's a machine. You look at him and it's just like, all right, that's not normal. You listen to him talking, you're like, yeah, that's not normal either. It's just he's a created in the lab, genetically, physically, whatever, mindset is what you want. Now, what's ahead? He's had, you know, double digit sacks in three consecutive years. Three straight years. Like, that's impressive. I would set the over under on 2023, like if I was setting the betting lines at 12.5 sacks, 16.5 tackles for loss. That's fine. Like, you take that and you're just like, cool, boom. That's a Pro Bowl year. That's a top five defensive end year. Now, if you're talking defensive player of the year, those numbers won't do it. You got to get up in the 17, 18 sacks. You got to get up in the 20 tackle for losses. That's just, it's rare. A lot of players never do that in the history of their career. We get spoiled here because we've already seen Bosa do it. And so it's like, all right, let's go. Let's get that type of play. It's going to be a little bit different this year. There's been a lot of change on the defensive line. But having Leonard Floyd opposite him, that is the best defensive end that has played with Nick Bosa in his NFL career. Hands down, that's not even debatable. Can Leonard Floyd stay healthy? Can he shift some of the focus away? Can Javon Hargrave have a much better year than he did last year? It was all right. It was a terrible postseason. Can Malik Collins, you know, get some pressure up front? These are all questions. Can the 49ers secondary be better to the point where now quarterbacks are holding the ball better, or maybe a split second longer, a quarter of a second longer, to allow Bosa time to get there and clean up some of those sacks? These are questions, because the 49ers secondary projected to be better than any point in all of Nick Bosa's career. So if you told me that quarterback's going to be holding that for a tenth or two-tenths of a second longer because the coverage is better downfield, man, Bosa could go out there. Career year from Bosa, oof. 49ers getting a first-round bye. They're going to be the one seed. That's all there is to it. I love this guy, and it's just so nice to have such a consistent, reliable factor out there on defense. And I know we've probably talked way too much about sacks in this show, but just how disruptive, and every single team that plays the 49ers on offense, the first thing that they're going to talk about, Fred Warner's amazing, and I love Fred Warner, but the first thing they're going to talk about is number 97. They've got to figure out how to stop Bosa with chips, with tight ends, with overload things. Don't run that side. All that, like, it changes the way teams play the 49ers. And for Nick Bosa, man, I hope he goes out there and balls out. Number three on our list, just an absolute stud. Again, one of the testaments to just how great this 49ers roster is, the fact that he's number three on this list. He would be number one on probably 20 different NFL teams. But for the 49ers, he comes in number three. We got two more of these left to go. Good Lord, we've done a lot of shows. But for us, we'll just keep counting them down. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews. It doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down, you can see our pre-party, you can see our tailgate, you pick what you want to do there, and right now the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there, you get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. Every year, whenever I do draft write-ups or free agency, whether it's, it doesn't matter the position, sometimes there's like caveats that's like, man, I hope this player goes to this scheme, this style of play is paired with a creative head coach, all those different things. Well, in Christian McCaffrey, who comes in number two on our countdown list, he is the most Kyle Shanahan running back that's ever existed. And it's the perfect fit for him. It's just a match made in heaven. And whenever you sprinkle in the Debo and the Kittle and the Brock Purdy and just all those different things, Kyle Juszczyk, it's just like, mwah. It is a perfect pairing. And they both just bring out the best in each other. The scheme, the system, the team, the hard work, all those different things. He is just magical. Just absolutely magical. And comes to number two on our list. It's been a long list if you've been with us, and I really do appreciate that. The amount of time that goes into these, it's a lot, but it's worth it. And I got to give credit to my man Josh, executive producer of today's show. The ballots for Christian McCaffrey, 2, 2, 3, 4. Those were the ranks, and that's where he is. Running back, just absolutely amazing. Now, it's his first time on our countdown because we traded for him halfway through the 2022 season. Right. And so a little bit different than we had him last year. And now he's on the countdown and all that stuff. And he's just magical. Where's jersey number 23? 5'11", 205. He's 28 years old, which in dog years or running back years is pretty stinking old. But he has shown zero signs of stepping down. And one of the things I always go back to, like what you win with, you're kind of tied to. And Shanahan has been notorious as saying he's the best player he's ever coached without the ball in his hands, right? Like kind of a Steph Curry reference there. But like Christian McCaffrey has never been one of the guys that just won with pure speed. He ran a 4.4640. It's not like he's slow, and that's not what I'm saying at all. But he ain't one of those burners. Like he's not the fastest running back the 49ers have. Isaac Grando would probably meet that one by a considerable margin. That's not how he wins. And I remember doing my draft write-up report of him, and I put in there, if he was just a slot receiver, he'd be a second-round pick in the draft. But he's not. His best trait is his vision, his football IQ, and just awareness of every single situation. Dude's a machine. Going into year 8, and I don't think he's done. The fact that the 49ers just extended him, the 49ers don't think he's done. Christian McCaffrey doesn't think he's done. I really hope that he just is the anomaly that he has proven to be already. And, it's quite, how do I say this? I don't want to be rude or disrespectful. But you kind of look at just what that draft was. Like, Leonard Fournette went ahead of him. Leonard Fournette's done in the NFL. He's not playing anymore. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey is signing extensions. Like, come on, man. It's just weird what he's done. From Castle Rock, Colorado. That's where he played high school ball. His dad, all that kind of stuff involved. 4-star recruit, chose Stanford. And, born in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Let's go through some of these accolades and family history because it's just impressive. 4-time varsity letter, winner in track and field. State championship, 4x100. State record holder, 4x200. Mom played soccer at Stanford. Dad football at Stanford. Played for the Giants, 49ers, 1994, won our Super Bowl. Goes to the Broncos, was there for another 10 years, won a couple Super Bowls there. 3 brothers, Max, Dylan, Luke, a couple of them played football. Luke just got drafted. Grandfather ran track at Duke. And was a 1960 silver medalist in the 100-meter dash. In the Olympics, 1956 world record holder in the 100-meter dash. Aunt played tennis at Virginia. Uncle wrestled and played football at Duke. Another aunt played basketball at Georgetown. Uncle Bill played basketball at Duke and Vanderbilt. Uncle Mike played basketball at Husson College. Like, come on, man. It just goes on and on and on. This dude was genetically designed to be an athlete. Where that was going to be, whatever, it's football. That's just, he's made for football, and he was just great from the jump. 2020, you know, start, he was an all-state player his freshman year. Led his high school to four consecutive state championships in Colorado. 2013, Colorado Gatorade of the player goes to the all-state, and I mean, it's just Colorado record holder for touchdowns, 141. All-purpose yards, over almost 9,000. Single-season all-purpose yards, 3,000-yard season. They only played like 11 games, man. Just unbelievable what he was able to accomplish. Now he's part of a powerhouse team. That's it. I get that. Then he goes to Stanford. Guess what? College Football Player of the Year, 2015. Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, a couple years in a row. Two-time first-team All-Pac-12. Consensus All-American. Paul Hornung Award. Jet Award. Just crazy. Yeah, probably should have won the Heisman. Didn't get it. Then he goes to the NFL, and, you know, he's drafted, you know, pick 8 by the Panthers in 2017. This is Kyle Shanahan's first year as a head coach for the 49ers. We took Solomon Thomas 3rd. Didn't work out. He went one pick ahead of John Ross and two picks ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Could you imagine being the Bengals taking John Ross whenever you could have got Christian McCaffrey, you could have got Patrick Mahomes, the best of the best at their positions. Instead, you got John Ross. Not trying to throw shade on Ross, but the dude was just a home run pick. You look at the weighted approximated value that Pro Football Reference puts out, basically how valuable they have been in their career. He's 4th in this draft, which is a crazy draft. Mahomes is 1st with a 96 score. TJ Watt is 2nd with an 80 score. Miles Garrett's 3rd with a 79 score. And then you got Christian McCaffrey with a 72. A little further down the list is George Kittle with a weighted score of 50, which is still amazing. But that draft had some studs in it. It sucks that we walked out of the first round with Solomon Thomas. But anyway, shows up. What has he done since he's been drafted? Most receptions by a running back in a single season ever, 116. Only running back to have two seasons with over 100 receptions. Nuts. Only the 3rd player in NFL history to join the 1,000 and 1,000 club. The 1,000 rush yards, 1,000 passing receiving yards, right? Joining Marshall Faulk, Roger Craig. Shout out to Roger Craig. We're going to talk about him here in a second. First rookie to do this, that. I mean, this list is so incredibly long. Only the 2nd running back in NFL history with 2,000 receiving yards in his first 42 games. Him and Herschel Walker. That's it. It goes on and on and on. Now he gets traded to the 49ers after being a part of some terrible Panthers teams. We gave up a 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th round pick. There's a lot of picks. Now, one of those picks was, you know, offset a little bit, but we barely got him. The Rams had essentially the same offer, Sean McVay, but we had that extra pick, the 4th rounder. That's what pushed us over the edge. A lot of people didn't like it, thought we overpaid. I was one that was like, man, we paid a premium. Let's see how it works out. It worked out perfectly. I mean, that trade's a steal now, which is crazy to say. It took the team to unstoppable levels. Complete weapon. And again, how I started, the perfect match for Kyle Shanahan. Like, they just, it's a marriage that was just destined to happen eventually, and I'm so thankful we get to see it. Just from a football perspective, you want to see people achieve the peak that they can, right? Like, get the most out of what they got, and Shanahan and CMC bring that out. Now, speaking of marriage, he did marry Miss Universe Olivia Culpo this offseason, so hats off to there, man. Congrats there. 3-time Pro Bowl selection. 2019, 2022, 2023. 2-time first-team All-Pro, 2019, 2023. Offensive Player of the Year this past year. NFL rushing leader. Had 2,023 all-purpose yards, led the NFL. 21 touchdowns, led the NFL. Legit MVP candidate. Came in 3rd in total votes. Impressive. Hopefully, you know, get all those touches. Led the NFL in touches with 339. You want to bump that down to about 300, but Shanahan ain't going to do that. That's just not really what that's going to be. Now, his PFF grades, 90.6 overall, elite. 90.6 rushing, elite. 87.1 receiving, which would be elite for a wide receiver, but he's a running back. 24.6 pass blocking. He's the best pass blocker we got, not named Kyle Juszczyk, but still not great there. Those are some things that could constantly be picked up, but that's another thing. Now, NFL top 100 list. He's been on there three times. In 2020, he was sixth. 2023, he was 35. And this year, number three, his highest he's ever done. Just crazy. Look at his career. Good Lord. I mean, just 52 touchdowns, you know, rushing, 4,000 yards receiving, 29. I mean, he's just touchdowns, touchdowns, touchdowns. And you look at the Hall of Fame monitor. This is another player. I feel like we've got about five that are like, close. Close, not there yet. He's got a 43.1 Hall of Fame monitor score from Pro Football Reference. That's 53rd amongst running backs. He's already passed guys, Matt Forte, MJD, Floyd Little, who is a Hall of Famer. He's got a higher score than him. Ricky Williams, Herschel Walker, Derrick Henry. Passed all those guys on this scale. It's not, you know, the end-all, be-all, but it takes a lot into it. It's pretty accurate. Now, these are the guys he's behind. Remember, he's got a 43.1 currently. Larry Zonka, 52. Paul Hornung, 68. These are all Hall of Famers. John Riggins, 69. Nice. Jerome Bettis, 75. Roger Craig, who's not in the Hall of Fame, has a 77.5. And Tony Dorsett, 77.9. He's there. Now, what does Christian McCaffrey need to do to kind of get over that hump? I think he needs two of the following: All Pros or Super Bowls. If he has a one All-Pro season and a Super Bowl win, I think that's enough. I think he's there. If he goes off in 2024, replicates what he did last year, and the 49ers win the Super Bowl, I think he's got a Hall of Fame career. He'll have to wait a while, but I think that's the bare minimum for him. Or just two more All-Pro seasons without a Super Bowl win. Now, the trump card is another Offensive Player of the Year. If Christian McCaffrey gets one more Offensive Player of the Year award, which he's been runner-up, and he won it this past year, he's in. I think that's enough. Still might have to wait. Now you get two All-Pros and a Super Bowl, or one All-Pro and two Super Bowls, or one Offensive Player of the Year and then one other. Then I think he's in probably first or second year, maybe third year. I mean, even Patrick Willis had to wait a couple years, but he's right there on the cusp. And so you're talking Warner, you're talking Kittle, you're talking CMC. Like, those guys are close. I think Trent's in, might have to wait a little bit unless he gets one more All-Pro, then he's in. But, shoot, Trent Williams just signed. That's great news. So, like, hopefully that happens. But Christian McCaffrey's close. Fringe Hall of Fame career, I don't think he's there yet. We need more. And if he could stay healthy for another 3-4 years, he's a shoo-in. Just the career numbers are going to be astronomical. Now, the only thing that could stop him is injuries, which have been a part of Christian McCaffrey's career. 2020, he missed 14 games. High ankle sprain. He had a thigh and an AC joint. Not good. 2021, missed 5 games with a hamstring. Not good. So, like, that's there. 2023, he missed 1 game, right? He had a calf. It held out week 18 as a precaution. Most starters didn't play anyway, but got to include it, right? Even if it is semantics. And he's back at practice today. You know, I'm recording this on the 3rd of September. The first, you know, they're just now bonus practice for week 1. He's out there. So week 1 status, check mark. This is a bonus practice, and he's already out there. Man, I'm excited. Now, he signed the extension. And let's talk some money. On the 4th of May this year, may the 4th be with you, a year after acquiring him, he's already gotten paid, extended. They basically added 2 years, $38 million, and bumped a fully guaranteed up. So he signed through 2028. So the fact that Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey are going to be together for 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, like, that's crazy. Hopefully he can stay around and be effective that long. His career earnings right now, $67 million. Love to see that. And in an age where the running back position has been completely devalued, Christian McCaffrey is holding that flag up, and he's helping the entire running back NFL landscape be ticked up a little bit. And it's kind of changed because now it's almost like the position's different. because there's thumpers and then there's the guys that can do everything. And that is so rare to find these guys that can do everything. You're always looking for them. They just don't really exist. We'll see what happens. Now, best case scenario. Christian McCaffrey in his last two seasons has put up 1,800 total yards and 13 touchdowns. That is insane. Can he do it 3 years in a row? 49ers sure as heck need him to. It's scary just because those are crazy numbers. Like, if you ask me to sign up right now for Christian McCaffrey, 1,800 and 13 touchdowns, total 1,800 total yards, 13 touchdowns, I'm taking that just because those are astronomical numbers. But he's put up, 2,023 yards and 21 touchdowns. And so, like, you're sitting here saying, like, okay, Christian McCaffrey's going to have 300 less yards, and he's going to have 8 fewer touchdowns this year. But I take it because those are just bananas, what he's been able to do. So I expect a little bit of a downturn. And yeah, there's probably going to be some bumps and bruises. Don't be shocked if he misses 1 to 2 or 3 games. But if he's there in the division games and the playoffs, that's what matters. We just got to get into the dance and let him do his thing. Gosh, I love Christian McCaffrey. And on almost every single team, he'd probably be number one. But we got Brock Purdy number one, spoiler alert. And I get it. Quarterback's most important position, all that different stuff. But Christian McCaffrey, I mean, the dude was number three voted on by the players across the entire NFL. And he comes in number two for the 49ers. We are spoiled, and I am thankful. Christian McCaffrey, you're the man. And for the last time that I'm going to say this, because we only got one more, that's going to do it for us here. And we will just keep counting them down. The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out his podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com and get started today. This is it. We have made it to the ultimate number one episode in our 49ers Rush roster countdown. 92 episodes to be exact, because we had one transaction that wasn't on the list that we had to cover with the Logan Thomas edition. That didn't end up panning out. We had the 91 episodes because we had the International Player Pathway Program. And here we are, 92 episodes in, number one overall, Brock Purdy. The suspense fades. Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody knew that's who it was going to be. And, man, let's be honest. We did four polls. Most important 49er to the 2024 season. Brock Purdy's votes. One. At first, across the board. It's quarterback. I understand it. Brock Purdy coming off a near MVP season, near all-pro season. Kind of got screwed there, but that's okay. And here's what's crazy. Our third year doing this. Our first year... that's whenever I did my own rankings, I think. Now I try to pull a little bit of the Chapman bias out of it. He was 78th out of 90. We were at 91 back then, too. 78th. And this is what we wrote for our projections, which we end every single player on. Best case scenario, he beats out Nate Sudfeld for that quarterback 2 spot. And that was the best case scenario. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And then after there, he goes from 78 all the way to 4 last year's countdown to 1 this year. And you've got to understand, like, I get it. Quarterback's going to be number one on most teams. But not most teams with Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Deebo, Ayuk, Fred Warner. Like, you can make a case that the 49ers got about 10 guys that they're all all pros for the most part. Brock Purdy's the only one that's not, and he's ahead of them. He's just different. Where's jersey number 13? I got to say thank you to Josh, executive producer of today's show. 6'1", 220. 24 years old, guys. He's young. He's going into his third season, which doesn't make sense because it seems like he's been here for a while. Think back to the time when Brock Purdy wasn't. It's crazy. It's scary. Those are dark times. These are better times. Now, is Brock Purdy amazing and the best quarterback in the NFL, all those things? No. Is he 6'4", 250? No. Does he have a laser rocket arm? No. But that doesn't matter, because he just does whatever the job asks you to do over and over and over and over again. And I know somebody's watching this or listening going, ah, he didn't win the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy walked off the Super Bowl. In the fourth quarter, he walked off, walked onto the field without the lead, walked off the field with the lead three times in the fourth quarter and overtime. He had three fourth quarter overtime comebacks in the Super Bowl. Not to mention whatever he did against Green Bay. Not to mention whatever he did against the Lions. Like, and the whole like thing was, oh, Niners can't play from behind. Niners can't come back and get that win. Blah, blah, blah. All he did was, okay, divisional round, check. NFC Championship, check. Down 24-7 or whatever at half, check. Come back three times versus Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, he did it four times. The way it goes. Perry High School down in Gilbert, Arizona, ended up going to the Iowa State Cyclones, a communications major, which is huge. Get those cadences down, all those things. Family, got some athletes. Older sister played softball for Southeastern University. Younger brother, Chuba, played quarterback. He's bounced all over the place, but recruited by some top-tier programs for sure. Back to Brock, baseball player. You see it in a lot of those throws whenever he's moving. Turning two, you know, to second base is that shortstop. First team All-Big 12. That's a big deal. Second team All-Big 12. Before that, he was the Fiesta Bowl offensive MVP. We know Brock shows up in big games. That's what he does. Academic, he was all over the place. First team academic All-Big 12, 2019, 2020, 2021. In his rookie year, he was academic freshman all-team in 2018. So check that one. Smart, you know, whatever you want to put there. Awesome. Played in 48 collegiate games. Started 46 of those and had 12,000 passing yards, 81 touchdowns, 33 interceptions. Iowa State's all-time leader, completions, attempts, yards, touchdowns, and passer rating. The passer rating is important. Because if you're just throwing the ball a lot, you're going to be leading a lot of categories. But that passer rating, not only was he throwing the ball a lot, he was efficient. He was efficient. Just what it is. Now, the way that he made it, he beat out, you know, Nate Sudfeld. And then he had the whole Trey Lance. He had the whole Sam Darnold. He had all that kind of crazy stuff last year. Even before that, it was the Trey Lance. Then you had the Jimmy Garoppolo, then you had his injury, like injury. And still to this day, that Dolphins game is the favorite regular season game I have ever attended for the 49ers. I've been to a lot of games, but that game was it. Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday where I was sitting with my buddies. I see Brock Purdy get hurt and limp off the field, and I tell everybody, I'm sorry, I see Jimmy Garoppolo get hurt and barely limp off the field. I'm screaming, Jimmy's hurt. Jimmy's hurt. See him jump on the cart, and I immediately walked down the stairs to go get more beverages. Because I was mad, and I was like, this season is done. D-U-N. Wrong. Wrong. All Brock Purdy did was come out and dice up the Dolphins nonstop, and all they did was zero blitz them. That dude just, ooh, man, it was awesome. It was just... The whole time, I was like, what is happening? Is this really happening? My favorite regular season game I've ever been to. It was so great. Absolute fan favorite. You know, last year, Pro Bowl selection, NFL leader in passer rating with a 113 grade. Awesome. Got married this offseason to his wife, Jenna. Congratulations to them. Started showing up in commercials all over the place, which I love it. Get that money. And he's now currently, he's only played a year and a half for us, which is still weird. Single season passing record holder for the 49ers, 4,280. And the first quarterback to go over 4,000 yards since Jeff Garcia in 1998. Hasn't happened in this millennia. Gosh, Brock is good. Top three MVP candidate. And this is the very first offseason that he's ever gone through. Remember, he got drafted. Kind of that was weird, and quarterback three. Then you had, you know, all these other, you had the injury. Now he's got a normal one. That's what's going on. He's getting paid less than Josh Dobbs. Like, that's crazy. Now, I will say this. Brock's going to get paid. He's going to be fine. And even last year, he was awarded $739,000 on the NFL's performance-based pay program, which kind of offsets these back-end rookies and undrafted free agents that get starting experience or whatever else. So that was awesome. Love to see that. Huge deal coming up. Look at his record. 17 wins, 4 losses. And I understand some people say it's not a, you know, quarterbacks isn't a winning, isn't a quarterback stat. I disagree. I think it factors into it. It's not all about quarterbacks, but it's a pretty damn important part. 4-1 in the postseason. That's great. That's, he's got more wins than Tony Romo and Dak Prescott combined for their careers. Dude's played for like 20 months. It's different. It matters. PFF grades last year, 88.4 overall, 83.6 passing, 90.6 rushing. He can scramble and he can create. And we saw a lot more of that in the postseason. I hope we can kind of incorporate some of that. We even saw it in the preseason, which scared me. But I want Brock to use his legs more. I don't want him to take hits. I don't want design run calls. But I want him to tuck that ball and run some because he's got that burst, man. It's awesome. Look at how he, you know, his highest efficiency PFF scores on play action where they fake a handoff, 94.0, awesome. No play action, 78.0. Screens, 58.9. No screen, 89.0. So, like, he's kind of all over the place, but, man, play actions and no screens. Like, people that say he's a dink-and-dunk quarterback, he's least efficient when he's throwing screen passes. That's his lowest efficiency metric for any passing category is throwing screen passes. Anyway, and you know what his highest thing is? The deep ball. Balls that travel 20-plus yards in the air, 98.3. Best in the NFL by a long shot. Like, lowest efficiency screens, highest efficiency. Oh, throwing 20-plus yards downfield. Come on, man. Now, pressure grades, whenever he's kept clean, 92.7. Great. Not blitzed, 81. When he is blitzed, 85.9. He's just, man, he's fun. He's just a fun quarterback. And just awesome. Now, you look at what he did in the playoffs. Obviously, not his best games, but came back in every single one of them. In Green Bay, he had a 59.7, one of his lower scores all year. But guess what? Jordan Love had a 54.0. It was higher than Love. Everybody's so high on Jordan Love, whatever else. And I get it. He is the big, tall, rocket arm, all that stuff. But we'll see. Detroit goes 72.4 was his grade. Goff, 73. Right there on par. The Super Bowl, 73.9. Mahomes, 75. Like, right there. So, I know PFF grades, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but I do think it's important. But Brock Purdy has won the kind of, you know, respect, maybe not quite the respect he deserves, in the NFL Top 100 list, which he was not on after 2023 when he made that whole run to the NFC Championship and got injured against the Eagles. He didn't get on the top 100. This year, 28th. So they went from nah to yeah real quick. Now I'm going to take a stab here. I don't think he's going to be around 28 next year. Contract year. NFL CBA says you can't pay a player until after they have completed their third regular season. So Brock Purdy going to be getting paid. So don't worry. Don't fall for the people next year that are causing negativity and all, they might trade him and trade. No, no, no. Brock Purdy ain't going nowhere. I don't care. This dude went from Mr. Irrelevant, pick 262. He's the first person ever drafted last to start a game, regardless of position. It's never happened. He's the first quarterback pick last overall to even attempt a pass in the NFL. And we got that pick. This is fun. We got a comp pick for a seventh rounder because C.J. Beathard signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you, Trent Baalke. You helped us out, my friend, which is awesome. Now, you look at that entire 2022 draft. It wasn't a good draft class. It was actually really bad. And it's only been a couple years, and you can kind of tell already. Pro Football Reference does a weighted approximate value for how important that pick is. Brock Purdy got a 24 score. That's second best of the entire draft. Second best of the entire draft. He was the last pick. 261 guys ahead of him. Now he's number two. The only person ahead of him, 2 points, Sauce Gardner with a 26 score, but he's got two All-Pros already. Crazy, man. And of all the quarterbacks that were drafted, only two are still on the original team. Skylar Thompson and Brock Purdy. Gotta love that. Look at his career numbers. 68.7 completion percentage. Great. 5,654 yards. All right. 44 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Good Lord. Just awesome. Missed one game, and that was the UCLI or whatever. Yeah, that was it. It came out a couple times for what he thought was a stinger, but went back in. $1.9 million career earnings, and like that's crazy. What he's making, I know millions is a lot of thing, but he's about to get paid. Now, what's in store? MyBookie, and if you want to go bet this, MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ers, double your initial deposit. They have his over-under, which you can bet on, 3,900.5 yards. If he passes for more, you get paid. If he passes for less, you don't. That's the way it works. But here's what's crazy. He beat that last year, even though he sat out the last game of the season by 380 yards. He could have sat out another game and still hit it. So if you think Brock Purdy's going to stay healthy, I think that's you got to take the over. I bet the over personally. If he's going to miss two games, I still think he beats it. If he misses three or more, I doubt it. He is the leader of this team. And whenever you have people like Trent Williams, who's a Hall of Famer, saying Brock is the leader, whenever he talks in the huddle, we shut up. When people are joking around, he tells them, hey, pay attention. Brock is him. And you see that stone cold look that Brock Purdy gets sometimes. Like, you don't mess with this dude. He'll get you. He'll get you. Quadzilla, little Quadzilla over there. He's not quite to boast his legs and all those things. But, man, I love Brock. And I really do hope that he is the quarterback of the future. And I always say, you know, one of the most common questions I get is, how long is the championship window? The championship window, is it open? Is this the end of it? Is this the last one? If you have Kyle Shanahan and above average quarterback play, the window's open. And that's why he's number one for me, because I think Brock Purdy is the, by definition, that's what he's been. Now, imagine if he improves. The question after the first year was, can Brock Purdy sustain, right? Well, I think we all got the answer to that. He was freaking almost won MVP. Now the question is, what if he improves? What if he can get better? What if that's a possibility? And if it is, yeah, it's scary. I think that's where he could be. Guys, this has been an absolute, it's been a lot. And every year, whenever I'm like halfway through this, I'm like, why did I do this? But I appreciate all the emails and everybody just like sharing with me that they enjoy this series. If you don't enjoy it, let me know, because the amount of work that we put in, it's a lot. And I want to say thank you to everybody that's helped. Whew, I'm tired, boss. But 92 episodes down, that's going to conclude our entire series. And thank you guys again just for all the support. Can't believe this is my job. Very, very thankful and very grateful for the opportunity. And selfishly, like, I walk away knowing all this about these players, and it makes all of the games and all of the conversations so much more fun, because like a guy like Brock Purdy, who we had, you know, 78 or whatever, now he's number one. This is why we love sports. Homegrown, baby. Oh, I love it. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. And we will not just be counting them down any further. That's going to do it. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.